with the power of a bus, helped pull it with a rope while I cut it. So we're here. Amen. We're blessed. We have all of our fingers, all of our toes, and well, at least most of us. But we've thankful for all the work the Lord has allowed us to do this week. And so I'm getting the there we go. I turn my mic on. And so tonight, as we continue in our Bible study, as we're talking about the Lord and knowing more about God and His attributes, as we have come tonight, I want to talk about the providence of God. As we look at the providence of God, of course, the providence, the Greek root word, means to, of course, very easily, provide. With that, it's the provision of God and the care of God. As think of the everything in life, God has not only control over, but has cared for and has provided for. And God extends to accomplish His divine purpose. Of course, God's will and God's plan is that He is to be glorified and honored. And of course, we talked about that this last week. But I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 11. We're going to start there. I've got a lot of verses to go through. I've got a lot of verses to reference, and some that I just so many for each point that I cannot, for the sake of time, get to or even mention all of them. But biblically, we'll look at the what the Bible says about the providence of God, and help us understand a little bit more about this area. Isaiah. We're going to be turning to Proverbs soon, but Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 11. The Bible says, "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and will not give my glory unto another?" Of course, this verse is talking about Israel, and we see in verse 11, "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that You'd give me the words to say. Dear Lord, I'm tired. The sun has zapped and drained, and of course the heat. But dear Lord, I pray that You'd give me the strength to say and to preach Your word tonight. As we look into it, I pray that our hearts would, dear Lord, grow closer to You as we understand the care and the provision in which You on a daily basis, dear Lord, we go through without thinking of many of the things in which You have provided. May we understand that every aspect of our life, You are in control. As dear Lord, You are sovereign, as You are almighty and all-powerful. And dear Lord, as we keep this in mind, may it help us to be grateful and understanding. And dear Lord, especially not to allow fear to capture us and to keep us from doing what You'd want us to do, that we understand that You are in control of every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look into what the Bible says about provision, the provision of God is the bidding or the overruling the permission in the affairs of His creation. Understand, this world and we are created by God. This world was created by God, and everything is under God's control. And the providence of God extends from His attributes. Of course, we talked about He is wise. God is wisdom. So therefore, the fact that He is wise, we may expect God to act rationally. And the fact that God is in control and His foreknowledge, that God does not fly off the handle. He does not get caught off guard. Is that ever? I love the saying. Has that ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? That God doesn't just say, "Oh, wait, whoa, what's going on?" You know, as a parent, my children have broken things or done things or said things that, as a parent, you know, catch you off guard, and sometimes you can overreact or maybe do a little bit of yelling, or raise your voice, or to get upset, and we react to a situation. But in God's foreknowledge, in His providence, in His long suffering, that God, He's going to act rationally. That He is not only wise, but He's good. Therefore, He will have the interest of His creatures at heart. God is not one who sits there. I talked with a young man years ago that had unfortunately ruined his mind with the use of drugs, and so his theories and thoughts of how God operates and works were a little bit interesting. And as I was trying to talk with him, he just was in the mindset that God is kind of like a God of the Three Stooges, you know, kind of does things to hurt people and just sits back and laugh. And of course, I must have spent 2 to 3 hours trying reestablished his mindset, or biblically, of what how God treats his own and how God handles us, and according to Scripture. But God is good. Everything that you and I have, of course, comes and it is by His grace. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, about God's grace and how good He is, and God is goodness. But He is also omnipotent. He is all powerful. Therefore, any situation or anything our lives have, in the sense of maybe a mountain or a challenge or just a trouble in which we face, we know that God has the ability to accomplish His purpose. So, God, You've called me to do this, but I just don't know how I can finish. Just understand, God is in control, and He will provide. And let's look at some Scripture. Let's look at some Bible verses that talk and teach us about God's proof of His providence. Let's look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103 and verse number 19. And we'll look at a lot of verses. I'll quote some, and I'll give you the references of some for the sake of time. We're not going to be able to make it through all. But Psalms 103 and verse number 19. We see that God, in His providence, He is in control over the physical realm, our physical lives, in which we deal with each and every day. Of course, Psalms 103, verse 19 says, "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." Understand, you think, well what's going to happen if the next president is elected? Or what happens if this person gets put into office? Or what's going to happen if this group takes power? Or what happens if this country? Understand, no matter what happens in life, God is still on the throne. And God is in control, and therefore we don't have to allow situations or fear to control us or to keep us from serving Him. Psalms 147, verse number 16 says, "He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sendeth out His word and melteth them. He causeth His wind to blow, and the waters flow." Understand that as a hurricane comes, God is in control of the hurricane. When a storm comes, God is in control. I know it's interesting. Every storm that comes, my dogs are a little bit timid or they're a little bit scared when it comes to loud noises or thunder. I'll always know that when a storm comes, Rusty's going to be come finding me out, and he's either going to sit behind my head up on the chair, or he's going to be right next to me as close as he can be, or he'll, if I've got the recliner up, he'll be right in the middle of my legs. And if there's a blanket or something, he'll be up under that too. It's very cute. We have a couple puppies at our house, and hopefully we'll be going home soon to their new owners, so I don't have to take care of them anymore. But I walked in last night real late from work, and I was looking. I'm doing a head count, and I'm thinking, okay, we're short a puppy. And, of course, it had been storming and raining, and one of the little puppies had between the two little pads we had on the floor had crawled under one, and just this little head was sticking out. And that's has been its favorite spot for the last 2 days, and I had to take a couple pictures. But many times, boy, when we find ourselves in certain situations, we become scared. We don't know the outcome. We don't. Now, I couldn't sit there and give verses to the dog to help it to feel okay, that it's going to be fine. But as human beings, we should never allow fear to get into the point of our lives where we stop doing what God has called us to do because maybe of uncertainty. Boy, you'll hear that word a lot right now, uncertain times. And we know the world is changing, but we know who's in control. And we know who will continue to provide in His providence, that God is in control of the physical realm in which we are in. So when the wind blows, God's in control of the wind. Think about Jesus when He was there with His disciples in the storm. He said, "Peace be still." Guess what? The winds and waves obeyed His voice. God is in control. God is also in providence. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "And Samuel was offering up the burnt offering," excuse me, "and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on the day upon the Philistines and discomforted them." You ever like to hear that where you think, boy, what really did that mean? We all know what comfort means, so to discomfort means he made their lives pretty miserable. And here in Florida, the lightning that we have almost every day and during our summer showers, he discomforted them with the thunder. That the verse continues, "And they were smitten before Israel." God took care of Israel by using thunder. So with that, God gave the victory. God's in control of the physical world in which we know and see. Acts chapter 14, verse 17 says, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, for our hearts were with food and gladness." And I think of the rain we had today, it came from the Lord. And understanding that no matter what it is in this life, that we look around and it might be scary and it might scare us. Maybe you're a young child and maybe you don't like the loud noises like my dog and you want to hide during the rain. Understand, God's in control. You don't have to allow those situations around you to cause you to fear when you understand the providence of God. That if there's a storm, God's in control of the storm and has called the storm. And so with that, we once again let fear leave this life. We also know that God is in control or in providence of the animal kingdom. You think of Daniel in the lion's den. God shut the mouths of the lion. Therefore, they could not harm him, hurt him. Once Daniel was taken out, and those that were guilty of causing Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den, guess what? God opened the mouths of the lions, and they were eaten. Therefore, God is in control, even of the animal kingdom. Job chapter 12, verse number 10, it says, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind?" It would be the Lord. Of course, that verse is talking about the Lord, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing. If something is going to live or die, it's in the control of God's hand. There is nothing that is without God's or beyond God's power or without God's control, as we see in the providence of God. Psalms 104, verse 21 says, "The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God." Even the lions, as they eat, it's provided by God. Psalms 104, verse 28 says, "That thou givest them, they gather. Then thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. And thou takest away their breath, and they die, and return to their dust." Understand that everything that lives or dies is in God's control. Psalms 147, verse number 9, it says, "He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry." Every animal, it's amazing to me. Sometimes you've ever gone out into the on a nature hike, or you've ever gone out camping or somewhere, maybe even to the zoo. Of course, we know the animals, they're fed by the zookeeper. But as you start to think, or you watch a documentary of those animals out in their elements, the ones that really amaze me are the animals out in the deserts and how they survive with a lack of water and in those rough environments. But yet God provides for each and every one, and understanding he's in control of the animal kingdom. We also know that he is in providence of the nations, that every nation is under God's control. Job chapter 12 and verse number 23 says, "He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again." Psalms 22:28, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations." Understand this country. You say, well, this country is controlled by the White House, and the White House is controlled by the president. No, the White House is controlled by the Lord. And the capital is controlled by the Lord. The Bible tells us that the kingdom is the Lord's. He's the governor among all nations. You say, well, if God's the governor of all nations, why are some governments, why are some nations so evil and so wicked and vile? They're still under God's control. I think of many times God has used the wicked, as you see in Habakkuk, as Habakkuk is crying out unto God, when will they be delivered? And also, why are they being persecuted or being tormented by such a wicked nation? God we know, of course, Habakkuk chapter 2, as God's response, God used that wicked nation to punish his children, to discipline them, if you would, for disobeying, for sin, and for wickedness. You look at how World War II. You think, well, the evilness of the Third Reich, of the Nazi Germany, and all the millions of people that were killed. But yet, you look at the results of that. That in 1948, Israel became a nation, like was told in prophecy. That every Jew around the world was given the opportunity, full citizenship, to return back to Israel. And so, as you see, God is in control of each and every situation. And to take out such evilness, he brought, of course, the Allies' powers to take out those that would see evil spread around the world. So God is in control of the nations. God is also in control in his providence of his word. And it's very warm in here. We do have an AC out, so we're trying to lower the other air conditioners, but I can't take it anymore. So I've sweated enough today, if that's a word, sweated, enough today out in the sun, cutting that tree. I don't want to do it here. Psalms chapter 12 and verse number 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, and thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Talking about the Lord's words and that they will be preserved forever. This book will never pass away. Now, this physical pages and cover of this Bible, of course, will fade away. If you've ever been saved long enough, you've probably gone through many of Bible, whether the binding come apart or the pages start to fall apart or they're ripped to where you no longer can use it, you've had to go out and get a new Bible. But the words will never go away. There will always be a word of God, and through that, God has promised his words are forever. And if this copy of God's word is destroyed, there will be another one that I may or may not be able to get, but it will be there. And we see that there are some Christians across the world that would love to have a copy of the Bible. But it's outlawed by their evil government and those that would try to see those Christians dead just for having a copy. If you live in North Korea and you have a copy of the Bible, that's life imprisonment with hard labor or death. And you and I, we've probably got 5, 6, 7, 8 copies, laying around, one in every room, one for our car, one, that's my going to church Bible, that's my study Bible, that's my Bible I keep here, or that's the Bible I had when I was a kid, or that's the Bible that my parents, I've got a whole shelf of Bibles, but we are truly blessed to be able to have a copy of it. God's Word is promised to last forever, the providence of His Word to preserve it. And he is also in providence and his control to provide over all individuals. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 1. 1 Samuel 16 verse number 1 says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" You know, Samuel was heartbroken when he had to go to the king and tell him that he was no longer God's man. He loved King Saul. And the verse continues, "Fill thine own horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Of course, God never told Samuel which son. So the very first son, he thought that was it. God said, no, he's not the one. Of course, all the way down. And David wasn't around. So the Lord says, it's still not the one. So therefore, we know the story that he had to go fetch David out in the field. But Samuel was heartbroken over the fact that King Saul would no longer be king. But yet God said, I have provided for me a king. And we know that to be David. As God provides, or as providence is over all individuals. Psalms 139, verse number 16 says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yea, being unperfect. And in thy book all members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Of course, in God's word, we know was settled and founded, settled in heaven before the foundations of the world was ever laid, and in God's providence to provide us with his book. We have something in which many in the Bible do not have. We have the completed Word of God to be able to read, to be able to know, as many of them that did not have Scripture, that did not have every promise that God has given through man throughout the ages, lived by faith in what God had told them to do. And so you and I are truly blessed, and we know God to provide there for the Scriptures. And in Matthew chapter 10 And we see also in verse number 30, we see that God provides in his providence for the life of man. The life of man, as the Bible says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Can you imagine? Every day that number changes. The reason I know that is because I have five girls and a wife. I can't tell you how many times I've had to unclog drains. How many times I've had to take the vacuum cleaner and get out almost a bandsaw to cut off that ball of hair that just becomes welded around that brush. Or the hair brushes when you go to use it and it's you're pulling and pulling and pulling. It's just amazing. You know, I have hyperallergenic dogs, which means my dogs don't shed. I've brushed my dogs. And the few times I've brushed my girls, I think my kids shed more than our animals. But that number changes. Now, girls, that's just because you brush your hair, and a lot of it. But as I'm getting a little bit older, my hair's retreating. But you know, that number does change. But God knows the very numbers of your head. And if God knows the detail to that extent about you, can't we take our problems in which we may think that he has no idea what we're going through. Oh, he knows exactly what you're going through. And in the providence, in the course of a man's life, God is in control. Luke chapter 1, verse 52, or Proverbs 16:1, or Proverbs 16:33, and 1 Samuel 2, 6 through 8, Exodus 12:36, all of these verses as it talks and refers to the fact that God's providence throughout the course of a man's life, God is in control. God is also in control of our needs. He is providential through our needs. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That our needs, you know, God has promised the righteous that they'll never go hungry. God has promised that his own will never go without shelter. You know, it may not be the kind of provision we wanted. It may not be the nice car we wanted or the big house we wanted or the luxurious things of life that we wanted, but God has promised that his own will not go without. And as I stand here, and I can attest that I've never had to go hungry, there may be times I hungered, but I've never, my kids come and say, I'm starving. You have no idea what starving is. You know, you ate like 4 hours ago. And usually my wife will say, I know how much you ate. There's no reason. That's impossible. But you know what? We've been blessed. God has provided. And God has provided through the needs throughout our life. And will continue to do so because God is a providential God. And the promises that we seek after his will and to obey, that we will never go without. Now, I'm not, again, don't misconstrue that to God's provision to you that he has not provided because it's not what you wanted him to provide you with. You know, God provided his children, but guess what? In the wilderness, they complained. Manna again? I don't know how many times throughout my life can't wait to get to heaven to try it. Heaven's food that would fall from the sky. How God provided for them, but yet time and time again, like human nature, they complained about how God provided for them. But we know God to be a God of providence through meeting the needs of man. We also know that God is in birth and in life. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou cast forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Of course, God told Jeremiah, hey, before you were ever born, before you were even ever conceived, I had a plan for you. And God has, in his providence, in life and in birth, God has control over. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15 says, and when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach and among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Of course, God in his providence over life and over birth, God in providence over our needs and over the course of a man's life, but God is also in providence and control of our eternal destiny. Psalms 73, verse 24, Psalms 37, verse 23 and 24, Psalms 11, verse 6. All of these scripture, all these references tell us, Psalms 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordained by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. For the providence of God, for the provision of God, that when we stumble, you know, when I became a father, a lot of the verses and a lot of the context, I think, when I would walk with my children, especially when they first started to walk, I would hold their hand, and many times a small obstacle like a street curb or a step. Maybe those are big obstacles to us today still, but they would stumble and fall. But it didn't matter what they tripped on or what they fell, because if I was holding their hand, they'd just dangle there and they'd swing. And many times pick up their feet on purpose and let daddy carry them. But think, as we go through life, let me read that again. The steps of a good man are ordained by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Of course, Brother Higer mentioned on Sunday morning in Sunday school the footprints poem. Well, I can't help but to think of that as we read this verse. How many times in our lives we've fallen short, but God has held us up. And God's provision through our lives, and God's provision for our eternal destiny. That we have fallen in our sin, but God had a plan. God had a plan with his son stretched out on a cross of Calvary to die for our sins so that we could be redeemed, so that we could become righteousness who was filthy rags. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, boy, praise the Lord, he saved us, sanctifies us, redeems us, and he seals us until the day of redemption, until the day that God calls us home, whether it be through death of this life, or whether we hear that trumpet sound and we'll all go to meet with him in the air, those that are saved. We know that in God's providence, in his care, we know our eternal destiny is secure if it's in Jesus Christ, the one who never fails. But we also know that in life, of course, you say, well, if God's providence and God's in control of the weather, if God's in control of our life, if God's in control of every situation, then does God give us the ability? Does God even the actions of man, God has providence over, and even our sin? You know that God permits sin. He does. God has given us a free will. Now, that doesn't mean that God is condoning sin. Again, we talked about that over the last few weeks, that in God's foreknowledge or in God's in the everything's predestined, God sometimes permits sin. There's three choices to every situation that we make, because it might say, well, what does God's providence, does it deny human freedom? You know, what choices? Remember, I kept saying our choices do matter. But in every situation, even those in Scripture, you'll see that there's three choices that God makes in the area of our sin. God may permit it, God may limit it, or God will prevent it. We've seen that God has restrained or stopped things from happening throughout the course of the life of those in Scripture. Or God has prevented it in the area of stopping it some catastrophic way, or through the death of someone who was blatantly going against God's will. God has taken the life of several people in Scripture. You look through, God has limited things and God has allowed things in Scripture. But one thing we have to know is that we will never understand or comprehend God's ways. Of course, His ways are above our ways. We can, through Scripture, try to know the mind of Christ, but we will never fully understand why God does what He does. His way, we never will. Until we get to heaven will we understand that. But as we look at Scripture, and according to God's foreknowledge, God achieves His sovereign purpose through every whatever we do by those three choices. He will permit it, He will limit it, or restrain it, or He will prevent it. You ever say, you know, go through life, we'll use this, God closed the door. What is that? God has prevented that from happening. Or restraining, and the fact that it didn't work out the way we wanted, or God has changed circumstances in our lives, or God has allowed us. When I think of, well, God allows us to sin, well, how could a holy, righteous God allow us to do that? You know, understand, this is only after the opportunities of righteousness have been rejected. You know, Scripture tells us that there's always a way out. That we have an advocate, that the Holy Spirit we have. There's every opportunity for us to sin. There's always a way out. And after those ways have been rejected and our minds made up, you know, we know we're not supposed to do it. We know we're not supposed to lie. We know we're supposed to cheat and steal, but we're going to do it anyway. After those ways have been rejected, sometimes God will permit it. Many times, again, going back to the illustration of a father, I'd tell my children, don't do that. And I'd see them look at me. Sometimes I'd restrain them. Say, you're not going to do that. You're not going to touch that. You're going to burn your hand. Sometimes I'd prevent them, saying, okay, you're going in your crib, or you're, you know, you're going to. But sometimes I'd say, all right, go ahead. I told you so. You're going to have to learn the hard way. Then when they would do it, find out, now, that didn't taste good, or that it was not healthy for them, or it was too hot for them. See, I told you so. And every time that we fall into sin, of course, that heartache and the consequences that come with it. But as you look at that, God permits sin. 2 Samuel 16:10, 2 Samuel 24:1, 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, 2 Chronicles 32, 31, Psalms 81, 12, 13, Hosea 4, 17, Acts 14, 16, Romans 1, 24, 26, and 28. I know if you're trying to write all these down, but my whole point is to tell you that there's verses that God has permitted those and given free will to man to make choices. Sometimes we see in Scripture that God has prevented sin. Genesis chapter 20, verse 6. Psalms 19, 13. Hosea 2, 6. But always God will limit the sin. There's only a limit to what you can do. If God has permitted some things in your life, say, well, it's my life, I can do what I want. A young person goes out and they live in the world. And in the world, you know what I mean, they're living in sin. You ever, as a parent, or ever as a child, have you ever had your parents say, "I've had it"? Or maybe your parents have given you that look, and you know what that look means, that they've had it. Oh, watch out when mom and dad have had it. You know, there is a limit to what God will put up with, in the sense that God always, if he has permitted something, not by his choice, but you've gone out of the boundary of God's will, and in his long suffering, and he will always limit sin. Job 1:12, Psalms 124:23, or I'm sorry, 124 verse 2 and 3, says 1 Corinthians 10:13, Revelation 20 verse 2 and 3. There comes a point where God will prevent that from continuing, because God will always limit sin. And the purpose of the providence of God, as we know by Romans chapter 8, verse 28, according to that verse, that all things work together for good, even with the unsaved, even with the lost in the world, that God's providence is for good. That God, Acts chapter 14, verse 17, that the providential goodness of the Lord to the lost. Well, why would God, in his providence, give good to the lost? Eventually, the end goal is so that they'd be saved, and that for their salvation, as you look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4. But understanding the ultimate end of the providence, as we looked in Isaiah 48, 11, the ultimate goal, the ultimate end, is that God is glorified. Everything in which our life should represent. Think, oh, our life is to represent success and honor and prestige and power or wealth. No, everything within your life, young person, you live for one existence, and that's to glorify and honor God. We are created to glorify and honor God, and the ultimate end of the providence of God is his glory. As you look at, as he's in control of the animal kingdom, as he's in control of this world and the weather, all of that is to point to the glory of God. And as we continue to keep that in mind, and as a father will have many good things for his child, you even think, well, if the providence of God, do I still need to pray? Because God will handle situation. We don't pray for the sun to come up, because we already know that Scripture tells us understanding God's providence, he's already promised that the sun will rise and will set, and will continue to do so until he destroys this world. So we don't pray for the sun to come up, because we already know that's going to happen. But in our life, we are to continue to pray. And of course, we cannot deny all of the scriptural exhortation about prayer and the importance of prayer. You know, there's some things I'll always do for my children because I love them and because I care for them. But there's some things they'll never get unless they ask. It's always amazing when you have more, whether it's the youth group, the teenagers over the years, or a cousin over the house, or my children. One child will come and ask something, and I'll say yes, and all the other kids are like, "What?" You know, and well, they asked. And understanding, as a father will provide many good things, whether the child asks for them or not. But a father also loves to be asked, and may not give some things into a child until he's asked. And understand, just because the providence of God, that God will provide, and you say, well, God's just going to provide in every situation, what will be, que sera, sera. Well, you know, I think that things are just going to be what they are. No, how many times in Scripture do we see that prayer changed situations. Prayer changed things. Prayer works. God commands us and tells us to pray. And through that, we must continue to pray to our God who loves us and is providential in every situation, in every area of our life. More than anything, this whole Bible study is to just prove God's in control. He can handle it. Don't let fear. You see it everywhere. People are, you know, these uncertain times, and you look at the news and everything that's going on, they'll play up on the fear. They'll play up on fear. All the scary movies, all the scary rides, everything, a lot of the thrills and entertainment of this world is to play off people's fear. You know, we don't have to let this world control us by fear. We don't have to let the news and the media control us by fear. Understand, God's in control. God, and I'm not going to go out and, you know, go kite surfing or, you know, play with lightning rods out in the middle of a hurricane and a thunderstorm saying, well, God, preacher told me God's in control. God also gave us common sense. But we don't have to let the things of this world keep us from praising the Lord. Say, well, I don't know what's going to happen. Doesn't matter. What we know is going to happen, we can praise the Lord through any situation. We can continue. You look at Paul and Silas. They're in the prison. Stocks locked up, beaten and swollen, but yet saying praises to the Lord. Why? Because they knew the providence of God. That God was in control. And that they, if they were there, it's because God allowed it to happen. And understanding, as we go through life, our decisions do matter. Our prayers do matter. Our prayer, you think prayer, if prayer can change the mind of God, if talking with God, you know, Moses' conversations with God changed his mind about the destruction of Israel. Prayer gave life by 15 more years of asking. How many things in life that God may be willing and ready to give to us, but we never ask for it? So all the provision of God, he'll if I need it, he's going to give it to me. Yes, but how many more blessings would we be able to get in this life if we just pray and ask? And don't let the think, well everything's going to, so therefore I don't need to pray, I don't need to ask. Because if God knows my needs, he's going to give it to me whether I ask or not. Yes, God will give you things in life, but how much more do we miss out on by not asking? And as we understand the providence of God, understanding the foreknowledge, as we talk about the Lord and in His what Scripture tells us, our faith should be increased. Our trust in Him should grow stronger and stronger and stronger. That no matter what comes our way, we're going to continue trusting the Lord. We're not going to let fear keep us from doing what we know we're supposed to do, because God is in control. He's been in control since the beginning, or before our beginning. He's been in control. Therefore, He has not changed. He's told us that. He changes not. Therefore, we trust and live by faith and know no matter what comes in this life, we have a providential God who will care and take for of His own, and the blessings and the promises of this book, no matter what circumstance, no matter what president we have, no matter what our policies are in our society or nation, no matter what storms we face, God is in control, and His blessings will never expire. His promises will never go void. His word does not change. Therefore, no matter what we face, we can trust in the Lord, and with that, give us peace, hope, and love as we serve others, knowing the God that loves us. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for all